Wouldn't you love to get paid for doing what you love to do? If you're ready to move on to what's next, join us for Circles of Change with Dr. Zara Larson. Our uplifting live talk show on Saturday mornings from 10 to noon will have you circling back, not running in circles, to pull your experience forward in new ways. Advance your career, plus help others with theirs. Join us Saturdays, 10 to noon, right here on 104.1 The Truth, for pragmatic advice and unconventional wisdom. Circles of Change with Dr. Zara Larson, where your path is created by walking on it. Welcome back to our second segment here on Circles of Change. Pleasure to have a local guest right here live in the studio, Dr. Manny Valenzuela. How are you today, Manny?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me on your show.
It's a pleasure. Let me introduce Manny. He's on the board of directors of the Green Valley Sahuarita Chamber of Commerce. He also is currently the superintendent of the 5,700-student Sahuarita Unified School District here in the greater Arizona area. It's a growing K-12 public school organization south of Tucson. Manny is academically trained in chemistry as well as educational leadership, receiving his doctorate of education from the University of Arizona, where he continues as an adjunct professor. He also serves on the Governor's Commission for Post-Secondary Education and the State Board of Education, and quite honestly has such an illustrious resume and CV that we could probably easily use 5 minutes of our conversation that direction, but more of his accomplishments are going to come out in the mix. So again, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Well, tell us about, perhaps just a higher order, what's the look of the Sahuarita School District this day and age?
The Sahuarita Unified School District has a very positive, very dynamic, very optimistic outlook. You know, the district historically has been rather small, rather rural, has a great tradition, great history. And in the last 10 years or more, it's been on a very strong growth trajectory in many ways, and the schools have not been exempt from that. But from a development standpoint, from housing, residential, and some emerging commercial, it's exciting because we're at a point where we're growing, but we're still small enough to have an opportunity together to kind of frame the type of community that we wish to be.
That's right. And, of course, that's the idea when you're in a growth mode, but still wanting to retain and celebrate the roots of a community. I get a sense that's really important there in Sahuarita.
Absolutely true.
And for people that don't understand the lay of the landscape, shall we say, of Arizona, I mean, most people, particularly coming not from outside the state, they have this vision of desert and even the Sonoran Desert. But Sahuarita, really, you start to see a lot of the other geographical changes for our state, don't you?
Right. That area of southern Pima County is really, really beautiful and kind of nestled right there in the valley near the Santa Rita Mountains. And there's beautiful pecan groves there in the area. And it's really a diverse area that exemplifies the Sonoran Desert. And we are working hard together to develop and take advantage of those assets from the standpoint of quality of life, education, economic development. And those are some of the exciting things that are happening in our area right now.
That's great. Tell us about the schools then. 5,700 youth, and has that a number that's changed much then over this period of time?
Yes, ma'am. I, after a significantly lengthy career in the Tucson area as an educator, I went to Sahuarita about 9 years ago, and we had probably half the number of students as we have now. We've built three schools since then. We have almost 5,800 students. And one of the real exciting things about our unique school district is the strategic partnerships that we're building with the greater community. You know, we're working really hard to develop a really strong vision and to provide an organization that serves all students and prepares them for college and career in this really challenging 21st century. But the exciting thing is we're doing it together. It's not just about our district being as great as we can be, but it's about embracing the needs of our community, our families, and working intentionally with our business community and with our local municipality to define together who we'd like to be going forward.
And that's really nothing better to say. That word public-private partnership is really at the core of what you're doing to end up with that stronger community connection.
No, absolutely. You know, it's been said that, you know, a rising tide raises all boats. And I think if we're striving to be the best school organization that we can be, but we are not intentionally matching that with the needs of the greater community and looking how we can meet the needs of the business community, for example, and of the residents who live there and of the town, then we are not maximizing our potential. And likewise, I would say for the other organizations, unfortunately, we have stakeholders that share that vision and believe that if we continue to work proactively and systematically to find common ground and to take specific action steps to develop mutually beneficial programs and outcomes, then we will all be better for it. And we're seeing some encouraging indicators of that already.
Well, I think what's important for our listeners to appreciate is I'm speaking with a gentleman that's in charge of K through 12. And I think, Manny, some of your comments would typically be heard by from a community college leader or a university leader. So obviously you and your colleagues understand that growing the children starting in K was going to lead to then that connection in the workforce or the community.
Absolutely. I think when you look at our area and take the time to ask questions about what are the emerging industries that are coming in our areas. We have a rich tradition in the area of agriculture. We're close to the aerospace industry with Raytheon. We also have a strong presence and tradition and history in the mining area. So they seem to focus around science and technology. So we're developing an intentional strategic plan to develop programs focused on that. And it has multiple pathways, starting with the purposeful development and growth of advanced placement programs. We are just getting ready to launch the first National Math and Science Initiative program in the state of Arizona, and it's only made possible because not just the district, but the greater region has decided that this theme is going to be our priority, and we're going to share our investment of time and of our resources to make this happen. We are working very hard to develop career and technology education programs. We're hearing from our business partners mm-hmm. that they have great, high-paying jobs for individuals, but they have to have 21st century, high-tech, computer-based skills in order to be able to take those jobs. So we're working to develop programs to prepare students for that. We're launching a new program in industrial technology in partnership with Pima Community College, the Pima County Joint Technology District, and the various business partners, the mines, aerospace, agriculture. And so we're hopeful that by doing this, we're going to prepare the workforce that of tomorrow that's needed by the employers of today and the future. And likewise, they're advising us to develop programs that are meaningful and that have practical application that
is in demand. And even looking at how the curriculum is structured and taught, so that at the same time you're giving youth lifelong learning skills that they can carry into the job market.
Absolutely right. One of our big projects right now, and it's ambitious, but you know, you got to mm-hmm. start by dreaming big, and then you got to follow it up by working big. And we're working really hard and doing some heavy lifting right now in the preliminary stages of building a central campus concept to train and to give students authentic experiences in these in-demand high-tech direct employment areas by building a center that supports these industries that have been identified and that have stood out as being the job needs of the present and of the future.
I think I suspect the other challenge you've got, Manny, I mean, your own role being an educator, is that means your teachers have to have the skills to be able to travel in the 21st century as well. So are you finding staff development as important an agenda, not just what you're offering your students?
You know, Zara, there are so many factors, as we know, that affect the level of student performance and student achievement, many of which are outside the realm of our direct control. But as we know, the investment in high-quality 21st century, valid, proven staff development is an impact on the variable that has the greatest effect size on student learning, and that is the ability and the capabilities of that teacher. So that is at the top of our strategic initiatives because we know it gives us the greatest return on investment.
Wonderful. So let's take pause here and just appreciate the background that you bring to the table, how it was that you became attracted to become an educator, going from chemistry into the educational world, and the journey that's gotten you to sit in this wonderful chair as head of the Unified School District of Sahuarita right now.
Right. You know, I've been truly blessed, and all of us have a special story to tell.
Right.
You know, in my case, my parents are both immigrants from the state of Sonora in Mexico who came here in the 50s and 60s right. to pursue the American dream. And my mother stayed home and supported us in her role as a homemaker and supporting the family. My dad worked in the mining industry, was a miner, worked his way up in surveying, worked very hard for many years in the mines, specifically at Magma Copper in San Manuel, and really worked hard to provide us with opportunities. And being a child, being one of several children of my parents, of immigrants, our parents always instilled the belief that America is the greatest country in the world, and that with a desire to work hard and to pursue your dreams, and through the power of an education, all things are possible. And I guess that was my first kind of spark mm-hmm. of experience and a validation of how important education and educators were. Educators were always revered in our household. Mm-hmm. And we were always encouraged to do our best and to pursue whatever dreams we had, as long as they were decent, noble, as they would say, and to do it to the best of your ability. And so I went to school as a kindergartner who didn't really speak English very well. And I remember vaguely those experiences of trying to sure. communicate. There was no specific methodology. There was no magic approach. I just remember teachers and my parents who cared a lot and worked really hard. And through those professional efforts and that genuine concern, I found school to be a great experience. And I learned a lot and I valued it tremendously. Mm-hmm. Hence my desire upon, 13 years later, going from not speaking English to graduating as valedictorian of my class at Flinders High School, story. It inspired me to desire to do that for others mm-hmm. and to inspire others the way that my parents and educators had inspired me, and to realize that if you are willing to work hard and through education, all things are possible. And so hence I arrived at the desire to be a professional educator. It's been very fulfilling. It continues to be, and I never looked back.
And you're a lifelong student. That's the other piece of it. And to be in the role you are right now as superintendent for the Sahuarita School District, so much is changing in education on the world stage, whether it be how technology is used in the classroom or how much is shifting. And the demands, particularly with the co-development, with economic development at the same time, it's so much more obvious in this day and age.
Absolutely. You know, we are in times of unprecedented change in so many aspects. Education is one of them, because education and schools are a reflection of the state of society and of culture. And in my 25-year career, I can't recall a time that has been full of so much change, and the pace of change has been so uncertain and also fast. I focus really strongly when people ask me about my profession, what I do in education in America and in our state and locally. I always reply that it's still a great calling. It's still, as long as you're focused on that vision of helping students to grow and to achieve their full potential in America, you're fine. I think it's important for us to remember to keep the compass on true north.
That's right.
You know, I think I read a book probably 20 years ago in graduate studies. It was written by a gentleman named Phil Schlechty, and it's called Inventing Better Schools. And one of the things that came out in my reading of that book is the idea that the American school has historically operated by what he called fits and starts. Mm-hmm. That it's kind of a knee-jerk approach to reaction.
It's like how we play football as opposed to soccer.
Right.
That is part of it. Yeah.
Right. And yet, and I think we see some of that. I think the American public school is, despite its challenges, and there's no doubt that we need to continue to evolve and develop, but despite its challenges, is a uniquely democratic institution.
Oh, yeah.
And we need to remember that, speaking of traditions and histories, that our American public schools have been that source of opportunity that my parents always envisioned. No, it's not perfect, and I don't know that we'll ever have a system that gives every kid an equal opportunity, but it gives kids an equitable opportunity, and it gives it has historically given all kids a legitimate opportunity,
sure,
shot. And that's, my dad used to say when he said, really, I didn't want anything by coming here. I just wanted an opportunity for my kids. And that's how I look at it. And I worry sometimes that You know, we need to stay focused on recruiting great people to become educators and investing in their talent and in their staff development so that they can be the best they can for kids and that they can have opportunities to have a fulfilling career. I worry a little bit that, and I don't doubt intentions, I choose to be optimistic, but that sometimes in the desire for rapid reform and the sense of urgency that we need to change to keep up with the world stage, mm-hmm. that it's important we not forget the roots of our democratic public schools. I think of a few examples. Some of the laws that might be well intentioned. You know, everybody wants a great teacher in every classroom, sure. and that gets down to leadership and people making the right decisions and training. But when I look at some of the challenges right now involving how we evaluate teachers and how we use of data and just making sure that it's done in a valid way.
And watching for the unintended consequences of well-intentioned steps. Isn't that true?
Absolutely.
We're speaking with Dr. Manny Valenzuela. He's leads the Sarita Unified School District. Let me shift slightly because he actually has a dual persona, dual career in many regard because you also lead the Green Valley Sarita Chamber of Commerce. So two hats. How do you juggle that?
Well, again, when I was asked to run for a spot on the Chamber of Commerce board, and, you know, as a school leader and as busy as we all are, mm-hmm. You evaluate those kind of requests with a little bit of a guarded lens because there are only so many hours in the day. And the reason that I embraced that opportunity is because of this belief that we can do great things if we can do them together, if we can strategically and systematically work to identify goals. And I don't just say school goals, or I don't just say business goals. Right. I say Sarita goals. And in a broader sense, I would think about, Arizona goals and Southern Arizona. And if we can find that commonality and intentionally and purposely set actionable outcomes that can produce benefits for all of us, then I believe we're all better off than we would have been if we had been the best, even if we'd been the best we could on our own. And we've had some great outcomes. We have two new university-level courses that we're offering. We're expanding our dual enrollment partnership with both the University of Arizona and Pima College. We've had significant investment from the private sector in our advanced placement initiative. And I believe it's because we've chosen to look at ourselves not as silos,
but as a
broader region. Absolutely.
And what are those two programs then that you speak of?
One of them is the Engineering 102 program. It's a college level program targeted at identified promising young men and women to take rigorous college level courses in science and engineering to get college credit. And also to have a chance to engage with faculty and with the opportunities that are available.
Test drive the whole possibility.
In
so
the
many
university.
Of our youth have been perhaps a misunderstanding of engineers, since that is my background, by the way, that engineers get stuck behind a terminal or only in the lab, or you hear kids push back, but I'm a people person, I'm not going to do that. And for those of that sit on the other side of the college degree, say, oh, let me tell you, the most effective engineering is every bit as people-oriented as any other profession you would choose. Oh, really? Tell me more about it. So the prospect that they can test drive it early and see how their math and science always also connects in different ways for the applied world of engineering, that's great.
You're absolutely right. You know, these fields in science and engineering provide so much promise, and I think we owe it to students to provide them with exposure to what those opportunities are and with a chance to really engage in really high-level, challenging scientific and applied mathematics problems that are going to test them and get them excited about the future.
I think the other piece of course, you're being the steward of K through 12. You don't start an interest in a youth when they're in 12th grade for that type of a journey. You've got to make sure you hook them almost pre-middle school and then help them ride through the bumps, ups and downs of math and science during middle school to stay on that track, to be open-minded to a possibility of engineering.
Yes. You know, one of the words that I find myself saying more and more these days as I evaluate kind of our directions as a school organization, as a community, is the word intentionality. Mm-hmm. Instead of reacting to the world, we are better served by pursuing it proactively. And that does start with a scope and sequence and the articulation of programs from the very earliest grades, preschool, and really making sure, and we've been working very hard on the articulation of curriculum, the instructional planning, and the implementation of teacher training to promote that that articulation across the continuum so that when students show up and we have these college-level courses available for them at the high school, they're prepared to not only to embrace them and to desire to pursue them, but to succeed in them.
Yeah. Oh, by the way, that's right. We're speaking with Dr. Manny Valenzuela. He's on the board of directors of the Green Valley Sahuarita Chamber of Commerce, as well as he currently leads a superintendent over 5,800 students in the Sahuarita School District. You touched on the challenges in general of public education in schools. What are some of the other issues you see facing education in general?
Right. The excitement for me is the fact that most people I talk to, whether they agree with me on some things and disagree on others, is the belief that education is critical to the success and the quality and the vibrant economy of our state. I think some of the challenges are in working to find common understanding and agreement and really being thoughtful about how we approach that. Like I said, the American Public Schools is a great institution. It's not without its faults. It needs to be continuously reformed and refined. But I think some of the legislation that's put forth is worthy of at least critical analysis. You know, for example, right now there's a bill going through that would expand empowerment accounts and basically give more vouchers. Now, please, I think the private schools have a very important role in the educational process. However, I think we have a duty with essential public functions to invest in them, make them accountable, responsible, and effective. And I worry that, and those empowerment accounts basically would expand the pool of people that are eligible for vouchers with the belief that if you put market forces into effect in public schools, it'll make everybody better. And I think some of those ideas have helped to open enrollment and have helped us to think about our market-driven efforts. But I worry that if we slice the pie too thin, the unintended consequences is everybody's going to be left with less and we'll be able to do less in terms of our respective missions to do what we all desire to do, which is provide every student with a high-quality education.
Yeah, that's right. Manny, think back on that time of those educators that really made an imprint on you. Anyone you'd like to mention, a real mentor that pops up top of mind in the field of education?
You know, I think back, I've been blessed to have a wonderful education in so many people. I always think back to that one point in my career, and I was in sixth grade. I was 11 or 12 years old, and I had a teacher named Mrs. Lorena Ramsey at Isle of France School in Flowing Wells. And I remembered that Mrs. Ramsey was one of those people who challenged me and accepted no excuses for anything less than my best, but also provided the encouragement and the belief that I could succeed and that I was capable and that I had potential and that if I worked hard, I could do anything that I could dream I could be.
And, the same way for all of us, that if we think about our schooling experiences, whether we go to a public school, private school, charter school, homeschool, at the end of the day, it's that resonance and that connectedness with our educators and our teachers that really sticks with us far and away beyond even what the subject matter was.
Education is about the building of positive relationships in helping students to grow. And I think that the more things change, the more they stay the same in terms of that critical link to quality education for our students and our future.
Very good. Well, thank you so much for joining us here on the show today, Dr. Manny Valenzuela from the Sahuarita School District, as well as involved in the Chamber of Commerce in this great state. Thanks for opening our mind to new perspectives.
It's my pleasure. Thank you for having me.
Mine, indeed. Change is chaotic. That is, unless you embrace it, going places you hadn't dreamed were possible. The Larson Group, Architects of Change, is a leadership consulting, executive coaching, and career transition firm. We help individuals make the most of their current employment situation or to step forward confidently into a career transition. Contact us at thelarsongroup.com or toll-free 1-877-544-2580. The Larson Group, Architects of Change, helping others unleash potential through transformational change. 1-877-544-2580.